Psalm 28, verse 4 to 8. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And he established his testimony in Jacob, and appointed the Lord in Israel. And he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare unto their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God.
So Lord, just bless her and inhabit her right now, we pray, and open our hearts and minds to what you would have to say through Heidi's work. Amen.
Amen. Right, good morning, everybody. Debbie, it's so lovely to see you. Nice to have you here. As an English teacher, I have spent my whole life immersed in fiction and helping kids to enjoy reading and... But I have my own sort of favourites, and I think, as long as I can remember, I've always enjoyed historical fiction. But I also like what's called dystopian fiction, which is looking at future, potential future scenarios and what our futures might look like. That's kind of appeals to me as a genre. But I also enjoy stories where there is time travel. It just appeals to me. I think there's something in me. I would like to be able to travel in time. And I started watching something on television recently, which has a woman who has been transported back by 200 years into initially she goes to Scotland in the Jacobean period, and at the moment she, in the program I'm watching, she's in the 1770s in America prior to the Revolutionary War. She's trained as a doctor, she's a surgeon, and having been transported back 200 years, she brings with her a knowledge of things which the people at that time, 200 years in the past, don't have yet. She knows how diseases are transmitted. She knows how infection can be stayed and controlled so that people don't die from something that is actually controllable. But for the people of the day where she is, they don't get it. They don't understand what she's advising. It's not part of their experience. And she also has gone back to a period of time where when people don't understand things, they can accuse those dissenting views as being from Satan and being witchcraft. So she actually has a knowledge that is absolutely true, but the people of the day where she is don't know that. They don't know it's true. Doesn't stop it from being true, but they don't understand that. So she finds herself, I think, trying to find people who will listen to her and kind of take on board what she's saying. And she wants to use what she knows to try and help the people where she's been planted 200 years in the past. And as I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, do you know, most of the time, this is exactly what I feel like. I feel like I've been transported from a different place in a different time into the world. And I have things to say to people, and people just don't believe me. They think I'm crazy. And they think that, because for them, what I believe and see and know is truth, they don't know that yet. And it just kind of made, I could see very much that she was a pilgrim and a stranger in, you know, 200 years earlier where she landed. She didn't belong there, and she was doing her best to survive in an environment that she didn't really belong in, knowing things that people around her didn't know. I thought, well, as Christians, isn't that what we are? Isn't that what we do? And then it just sort of struck me as a thought, we are actually time travelers. When we enter into the kingdom of God, we are time travelers. Isaiah 43:13 says, "Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?" I think we need to understand as Christians, and I'm not saying that we don't, but maybe we forget about it just in the day-to-day experience of our lives. God's sense of time is so different to ours as humans. We need and we understand time as a chronological experience that moves from past to present to future. And God's timing or understanding of time seems to be, rather than horizontal, it seems to be vertical, where he, in any moment, he sees it all. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end simultaneously. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And although God is speaking this to Jeremiah as, you know, as he's ordained him as a prophet, this is entirely true about each one of us. We were all known. We existed in God's mind from the beginning of time. He knew us, and he had a plan for us. Has a plan for us. Psalm 139, verse 14 to 18 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." I mean, what an amazing thought that we existed before time. That God knew each one of us and had a plan, a number of days that he would have us here on this earth. And it's, none of it is by accident. It is all done, has been done deliberately by him. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I was thinking, we have all here in this room been placed here in the 21st century with the world that we know and often don't particularly like. But this is where God wanted us to be. He didn't put us, you know, in the 1700s or the 1400s or at the time of Christ. He put us here now. This is where he wants us to be. As for Esther, in Esther 4:14, when her uncle says to him, her uncle says to her, sorry, I'm getting my pronouns messed up, "For you remain completely silent at this time," if you remain completely silent at this time, "relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And we know that Esther came for such a time as that, that she had a very important and critical role to play in the history of the Jewish people. She was not there by accident, but by design. We too are here, not by accident, but by design. And we have a destiny. We are eternal, and we know that the world that we are from, we know the world we're from, and we know where we're returning. Acts 1:9-11 says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus was placed here on the earth at a set time. He's existed from the beginning of time, but came at just the right moment to do the work that God had for him on our behalf. And when that work was finished, he went into heaven, and there he is right now, and he will come again, because that's the promise, that he's coming and he will collect all of us to him, and we will all be living in the new heaven and the new earth. And he has left us here as he was in the world. John tells us that in 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Again, John speaking in the Gospel, John 18:36, Jesus answered, saying, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. We are from that kingdom. We are from that future kingdom. We are from that kingdom that has been ever since before time, since before man's creation. That is the kingdom that we are from. We are time travelers through that whole spectrum. While we are here on this earth, we are ambassadors for him and for his truth. Just like this woman in the program that I've been watching, she has truth that the people she lives with don't know yet. And they can't comprehend it because it makes no sense in terms of their own experience. But her experience is different. She knows things as realities that she can speak confidently about. We know things as spiritual realities that we too can speak confidently about to people here amongst us who don't know those truths yet. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:6 through 12, However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit in our lives communicates to us, frustratingly, not necessarily as clear and as, sometimes we feel, Lord, I need to know more. But he promises to reveal to us what we need to know at any given point. It's the truth of the future kingdom that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our lives, in our hearts, so that we can use that information for the role that he has for us here, in this world, in this here and now that he's placed us within. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As believers, we need to widen our perspective. We need to live beyond the constraints of time. Through Scripture and the Holy Spirit, we know the past, the present, and the future. And we've been given a special assignment in this place and time. Isaiah tells us in 43:10, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Prophets like Daniel and Isaiah brought the future to the present through what the Holy Spirit revealed to them. Just a little snapshot, really, in Daniel. Daniel 2:22 says, "He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." Further on in chapter 2 and verse 44, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." This is Daniel interpreting a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he could see into the future of that dream. And then again in verse 47 of chapter 2, "The king answered Daniel and said, 'Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret.'" We have this amazing role as ambassadors from another dimension. While we're on this earth, we have access to information that other people don't have. We have access to truth that other people don't have. And just because they don't think it's true or they don't know anything about it doesn't stop it from being the truth. The truth is the truth. The truth about germs 200 years ago was exactly the same as it is now. It's just that they didn't understand it. I think that while we are on this earth, I know it firsthand. We will experience difficulty. We will. It's a guarantee. And people are not going to understand us. And they're going to think we're a bit strange. Or really strange. But our lives here matter. We have a purpose. And we have impact that we are going to have on others. And that's an important part of what we're here for, is the role that we have in terms of being examples to an unbelieving world of the truth of God and what he does in people's lives. But we also are in training. There's also a benefit for us as people being here in this world doing the work that we're doing. We are actually in training for our future lives in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will behold for eternity God's glory. John 17:24 says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." I was reading just this morning, actually, in the Gospels, and I was reading a portion where Jesus was going around healing the sick and casting out demons. And again, I think just in the light of my work on this message, I just suddenly saw when Jesus was healing people and when he was casting out demons, he was bringing God's future kingdom to the present. What's eternity? A place where we will be restored to wholeness, where we will not be sick, we will not die, where Satan will be the bound, defeated foe that we know him to be, and that will have been a completed act. When Jesus healed people, when he cast out demons, he brought the future to the present. One of the things that I could see in this program, looking back at the history 200 years ago, or life 200 years ago, is the impact of Christian lives on our daily experience. I was watching some bits where there were slaves in America and how the slaves were being treated. And we know for a fact that Christians played a very important role in stopping slavery, in helping people to recognize that we are all children of God. You know, we can't buy and sell human beings as slaves. Now, I know we still do have some forms of human slavery that persist today, but so much change has been wrought because of Christians and the work that they've done for equality. I was watching also how the North American, the Native North Americans were being treated 200 years ago. The way that these people were treated as savages, as animals. Christians have brought the future to the present throughout life since Christ has been on the earth. And we have that responsibility in our daily lives that we bring justice and truth and mercy to the situations that we find ourselves in, because that is what God's kingdom is. I was kind of struck by a reference in another passage from 2 Corinthians, which I'll get to in a second, which, again, just sort of changed my thinking a little bit on the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that we experience while we are here on this earth. You know, we are here fighting a good fight of faith, and we are trusting in God, and we're learning to trust him and to know that he is wholly reliable in all circumstances. And that we are experiencing what Paul says in 2 Corinthians in a moment, this momentary light affliction. Momentary light affliction. No matter what we suffer, and we're fortunate where we are here, and we pray every time we come into church, don't we, that, you know, that we are so grateful that we are free to come here and worship. We don't suffer for worshiping. There are people in other parts of the world who suffer for the right to, you know, to worship and to meet together. But still, Paul refers to whatever we experience here on this earth as momentary light affliction. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." I am in a family of people who think that lifting weights is a great way of spending time. They love weightlifting. And I just, you know, I myself don't do this, probably I ought to, but I watch them, and I know that they build strength through lifting increasingly heavy weights. They start easy. They keep exercising with lighter weights, and gradually they add more and more and more. And over time, they end up being able to lift enormous amounts of weight. We experience these momentary light afflictions as training to develop our spiritual strength. Let's look at what 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I suddenly had a picture after reading that, that in order to bear the weight of God's glory, we need to have spiritual strength. We are being strengthened day by day in the work that God has for us here on this earth. As trying and frustrating and discouraging as it might be at times, it's all so that we learn to have faith in Him and to trust in Him. And that develops our spiritual muscle, because when we get to this new heaven and earth, we need to be strong enough in our spiritual lives to be able to bear the weight of His amazing glory. We also need to discipline ourselves to see His truth in all things. Not what the world right now is telling us is true. We know that ultimately every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We know that. This woman in this program knows that the British are going to lose the American Revolutionary War. The ruling people in America at the time were absolutely confident that the British would continue to rule in America, and that they didn't consider that they were going to lose the American Revolution and that war. But she knew, no matter how arrogantly any of these people would speak about what they thought was going to happen, that, I'm sorry, that isn't how it's going to play itself out. We know exactly the same thing here in our lives. We know that regardless of what anybody says about what they think about God and His existence, that God is true, He is real, and whether they like it or not, the day is going to come that they will be on their knees bowing to His Lordship. Whether they do that as His children or as people who have chosen against Him, doesn't matter. They will still have to recognize and honor the fact that He is Lord of Lords. So really, as little time travelers here in this particular place and time, we have absolutely nothing to fear in this world. Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." While we follow the path that God's planned for us, we must exercise our faith and trust in Him to build that spiritual muscle, which will enable us to bear the weight of His glory throughout eternity. No matter what befalls us, we must look beyond this point in time and look above to the timeless place where we have come from and to which we are going. And I believe that what Paul advises the Philippians in chapter 4:8 is so important for us, because I think it's too easy to get distracted and discouraged by the temporary visible, and we sacrifice the eternal invisible when we become preoccupied with the detail of what's going on around us. So Paul says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You have chosen us from before time to place us here in this time, knowing what You have in store for us in the future. I ask that you strengthen each one of us to bring the realities of eternity to our here and now, to the lives of people that we come into contact with, to be ambassadors for your love and for your truth and for your existence into the lives of those that we come into contact with. Remind us also, Lord, that we have nothing to fear in this world, and there is nothing that we see with our visible eyes that we need to be concerned about, because we know with our spiritual eyes what is real, what is true, what is lovely. We know that you are good and that we are part of a very good and important plan. We thank you so much for the privilege of being part of your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.